Please take a seat. Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 61, from verses 1 through to 3, and it's really going to be the passage that I'll be referring to. We're actually going to do the talk in two separate lots, and the first lot's going to involve a bit of interaction by you, just to give you some heads up. You're going to have to try and think of a number of different movies to do with a couple of different themes. The themes are going to be from poverty to riches, so themes that movies that have that as their sort of central theme. Themes that in movies where a person either has a disability or an illness and they overcome it and they end up with a glorious type of existence. And lastly, themes of where a person overcomes injustice or imprisonment and end up, of course, getting justice. So they're the three themes we're going to look at. And you'll see that these themes actually occur from the text that we're going to have here from Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. Let me read them to you before we start. Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1. In your pew Bibles there, in the large print one I have, it's on page 1159. Page 1159. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. Now, as I said, we're going to begin by looking at those three themes that hopefully you saw right at the front of your text there. And we're going to look at how really the Bible is really a big reversal of fortune story, where the fortunes of humanity are reversed, especially according to the three themes that we had. And I'm going to give you a few hints as we go through about different films that sort of use this same reversal of fortune story. And Mark's going to come around with the microphone, because I want you to sort of shout out a few different actual movies that you know deal with this type of theme. The first one up there, that's an example. It's a whole genre of films really that go from poverty to riches. No greater example than I'm sure all of your favourite poverty riches story, Cinderella, where a person starts off in poverty and ends up in riches. Now, what we're going to do really then is see how closely Jesus is when he talks about a poverty to riches story, and to see whether the differences between the way our culture does it and the way Jesus does it is actually the same. The importance will be, well, if we just read it as overcoming poverty and end up in riches and using the same ideas that society has, we'll see how closely our thoughts are to Jesus. So can anyone think of any other poverty to riches stories, movies? Mark's had a run and give you the microphone, Monica.
Oliver.
Yeah, very popular. Oliver. Dave?
Aladdin.
I don't know Aladdin very well, but I'm sure is he start off in poverty, does he, and end up with lots of cash? Gets a genie, so that can't be too bad, eh? Some over here.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, got that one up there, definitely. That's probably the most famous modern one, I reckon. Slumdog Millionaire.
Pursuit of Happiness
we had over here as well.
Annie?
Annie, yeah. You're going through my top 10 hit parade. You must have done the same Google search that I did. Very fast Googlers around here. Any others? As you're thinking, these are ones that I had as Pursuit of Happiness already had. I love Trading Places. Anyone remember Trading Places? Really helped make sort of Eddie Murphy's career, where Eddie obviously was a stockbroking genius and ended up sort of making heaps of cash and so on and so forth. Anyone got any others? Matt?
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, Jerry Maguire, I didn't think of that one. Excellent, that's right. Just a couple of others. Les Mis is a different type of movie and obviously book, but a lot of it's about rags to riches of the person, if you've ever seen it, ends up at the start, he's in jail, and ends up in the end, wealthy. Lots of other themes in it, but one of them is that, Les Mis. Slumdog Millionaire we already had. Al Pacino not your normal poverty to riches, but it is, just not good guy, but still poverty. Ended up, well, life didn't go so well in the end. Willy Wonka, poverty. You know how he got the golden ticket at the start because he was basically too destitute to buy it, remember? The chocolates. Any we've already had. TV show. Now, some of you remember this, don't you? No. Beverly Hillbillies. The old Clampets. We've got a kid has one.
Rapunzel.
Yeah, very good. Well thought out. Well thought. A lot of the kid fairy tale ones are, of course, poverty to riches, aren't they? Where the person overcomes immense odds to get their wealth or prestige for a lot of them. Beverly Hillbillies, the oil. Did you have one, Jeff?
Riches to rags.
They're generally not nice films. I don't like them, of course, unless they're nasty people. But or the modern equivalent. I've not watched this show, but this is the modern equivalent, I think. Here Come the Habibs. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a number of other themes that's dealing with, but one of them is certainly the fact that they're poor and bogan, and obviously a type of bogan who ends up with lots and lots of cash. So we're going to look at in a moment, well, how close is Jesus to these poverty to riches sort of tales? The next theme we're going to look at is they're more uplifting movies. Movies where the main character is unwell, or the main character's got an illness, whether it be physical or emotional, and they either overcome it or they fight through it, and you sort of go on the journey with them. Some of us will remember from the 70s, Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If you don't remember that, it means you're probably about the age of 45. Can anyone think of any other films that deal with that theme of overcoming physical limitations or mental limitations? Probably the most famous modern movie of all time is one of these. Heidi. I don't know that film, but I'm sure you're right. She is right. Some have already given you the thumbs up. Yeah. Another one just to help you. Some of you might be thinking. Sally Fields, Places in the Heart. Very similar movie that you'll see to others coming up here where overcome illness. I Am Sam. Many of you may have heard of that one. Someone told me, one of my kids said the movie Wonder. Have you seen Wonder? Patch Adams. Rain Man, with Dustin Hoffman's character there having autism. And, of course, his brother just wants to use him at the start, but overcomes that and they grow closer. Help. But probably the most popular, famous movie that deals with this theme, Forrest Gump. Yeah. Where you see, of course, a person who most people would deride in society ends up becoming a star because of how innocent he actually is. So we're going to look at this theme. In our text, it's that idea of being healing up the brokenhearted, and what Jesus actually talks about. Does he mean the same as these types of films? And there's a TV show that deals with sort of a modern equivalent, really, to Forrest Gump, but a lot more smarter, obviously. A bit more like Rain Man, I suppose, with the good doctor. Third theme we look at, release from captivity. Again, often they're uplifting films that are dealing with people in absolute dire straits at the start, arrested often when they're not guilty, that type of stuff. Release from captivity, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, fairly recent type of one. Any other? Can you think of any other films where they're released from captivity type films? Shawshank. Yeah, that's probably the most famous one, Shawshank Redemption. Now, as we go through, I thought just to get a bit more involvement from you guys, I'm going to actually not have the film up there, just a scene from it, and see how many you can guess. Just to get along, Hunger Games. They're released from captivity type films, Overcoming Injustice. The Green Mile, have you ever seen that one? Also has a fellow in it who's got a mental disability and he's in jail because of it, really. Great physical strength. What about that one? Anyone know that one? This will show someone's age, I'm sure. Someone here is old and remembers it and doesn't want to say to prove how old they are. That is Paul Newman. Anyone know the film? Oh, close. No, I think not The Great Escape. I was going to put The Great Escape on there, but I didn't in the end. Because that's Steve McQueen, Great Escape. Newman, Cool Hand Luke. Cool Hand Luke in jail, as you can see, chained up, escapes his captivity. The Killer Mockingbird, that's right. I thought, who's going to get the Australian one? Rabbit Proof Fence, that's right. That's a Stolen Generation film where she returns along the line of the rabbit poof fence to get home. This is a TV show. I used to love this show about 10 years ago. Prison Break. It's an awesome show, Prison Break. Yeah, Prison Break. And anyone, this is one of my favourite actors when I was a young kid. My old man loved Clint Eastwood. Same bloke, that's right. Based on a true story-ish. Escape from Alcatraz. This is an escape story too, just a different type of one, a comedy. The Truman Show. He's in the little bubble and he figures out, because he wants to go to Fiji, that he needs to escape that world, of which he does. Truman Show. Lucky Last, where he had probably the most popular release from captivity show. It's an escape one, really. The actual Shawshank Redemption. So what we're going to do, we're going to have another song now, and then we're going to come back and look at those three themes, really, about how different is the way Jesus tackles those three themes. Poverty to riches. If you had to summarise that, I'd say the modern way of saying it is a person wants to be wealthy. They need the funds. So to get those funds is a demonstration of their actual ability. So we like those stories because we could see ourselves there and think, well, we deserve to go from poverty to riches. We love the second ones because they're people overcoming challenges. Even though we know that doesn't happen very often, we wish it would. We wish there were people like Forrest Gump. We wish there were people who were like the good doctor. But generally speaking, we know the world's not that ideological. It's far more cutthroat. But we wish it wasn't. So how similar is Jesus going to be to that? And lastly, is Jesus only going to release the captives who were not guilty in the first place? What about the ones who were guilty? Does Jesus release those ones? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll have the band to come up as I'm doing that. Heavenly Father, we pray as look at those themes that we may grasp what it means to go from poverty to riches, what it means to be cured or to deal with physical or mental ailments, and what it means to be released from our captivity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is going to also be our offertory song. So if you are stand up, give to the work of the Lord as he's led you to do. Otherwise, just let the basket pass you by. Please take a seat. As I said, we're going to look at those themes really as a comparison between Jesus himself and maybe how we've understood those ideas of poverty to riches as well. Now, it seems like if you've ever been to a service like this and you've probably heard talks on Luke's 1 to 2 and there's lots of stories about Jesus, that actually a lot of the early parts of Jesus' life look very similar to most Hollywood poverty to riches stories. I mean, Jesus was born in a manger. That's pretty poor. Maybe in a food trough or some sort of washed out basin that would have been used to feed the animals. That seems like the cliche of modern films like Cinderella almost, where Jesus is in the absolute backs of poverty. But then he looks like he's going to be similar to a lot of other poverty to riches stories. Just secretly, you know he's a king. A bit like Sleeping Beauty and these other stories where you just know that their identity is actually far more important than what is led on in the early story. So early on, it looks very similar to a lot of other movies that you may have seen. And the trick is that when we come to Jesus, we can go, well, he's just like all those other characters we see. Born into poverty, but really he's a secret prince or princess, where you see in these sort of Christmas films that my kids have been taunting me with as they watch them off Netflix, where there's always this secret identity that character has, and eventually the person will come to realise that they are really a famous star, like a Parent Trap style movie, and is that Jesus. He is really the king in waiting, and eventually everybody will know it. But he's born into poverty, but really he's a king. Quite often these films also have a sort of part of their sort of genre motif that the person in poverty really is a genius, but actually, a bit like Good Will Hunting, I suppose, where really life is just sort of conspired to not let them fulfil their potential. And then you can read Jesus in Luke's Gospel again, where he goes to the temple as an 11-year-old boy, potentially a 10-year-old boy, and we think he's a prophet. So poverty's holding him back, but we just know that when you write a story like this, eventually they'll rise above their poverty. And so early on, it looks like Jesus is going to be the cliché type of character. where he's going to raise up, teach the masses, because he has the gift of being a prophet. And as we look at these verses here, we can start to wonder, what about the other two stories? Is he going to bring healing? Is he going to bring good news to the poor? And what is that good news? If you're a poor person, what good news do you want? I've won lotto. That's the good news I want if I'm poor. And you think, is that the blessing that Jesus is going to give? Maybe, maybe not. The answer we don't have yet. But then if you read the story that was read to us again by Stephen, you'll see that it looks like that a lot of the cliches about movies are true about Jesus, because in our reading today here, it says he's going to bind up the brokenhearted, and then when Jesus turns up, what does he do? He heals people, doesn't he? Heals people of leprosy, people who have mental illness, he cures them. And so, is that the type of healing Jesus is going to do? Is that all he's going to do? Is Jesus' ministry a much like if you give 10 bucks to a charity this Christmas and it's only 10 bucks you give? You've helped them out once. Because guess what happened to every single person Jesus healed? They got sick again, didn't they? So it didn't last that long. So Jesus' healing of others was short-lived. So how useful was it long-term? Is it like giving to a charity once a year? Makes us feel good, but no long-lasting implications. So what did it mean for Jesus to actually heal the brokenhearted longer than just the few minutes that a person was alive in the scheme of time? The last one we'll see is the idea of releasing people from prison. And Jesus, it says, he is going to do that. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Well, where did Jesus end up? Dead, didn't he? He ended up getting arrested. Was there any release from that? Well, only if you believe the Easter story. If you only believe the Christmas story, the boy who was born and healed people ended up being killed on a cross. So what type of release for prisoners is that? Because there's no season two in that idea, is there? No sequel to a death on a cross. So hopefully you'll see that we've got to have a bit of a different understanding of these three ideas. What does Jesus mean to go from poverty to riches, from ill health to health, or from captivity to freedom? Otherwise, this might be where you end up at most times of Christmas, where it's Merry Christmas with Santa. All well and good, you might say, but next year you'll be trying to prove to yourself that you've been good enough for Santa to shove himself down your chimney to take away your cookies in order for you to get a worthy present. If that's all it is, what's the point? So Jesus, hopefully you'll see, is going to change those three ideas of poverty to riches, ill health to health, and lastly, freedom. What does it actually mean? So I want to start just with the obvious thing. If you've ever read the Gospels, but just turn on your evening news. The world is in poverty. There's a lot of campaigns to end poverty. Some of us are old enough to remember. I remember watching this live as Bob Hawke said it. Remember Bob Hawke, Australian Prime Minister, many years ago? He said a promise about poverty. Anyone remember what he said? There would be no more children in Australia living in poverty. You remember Bob Hawke saying that in the mid-80s? Jesus himself said, not that. So Jesus didn't come to cure poverty. He said, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. In other words, when Jesus says he's going to fulfill this line from Isaiah 61, the sovereign Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The good news is not going to be that the poor will stop being poor. If I'm poor, I want the good news to be I'm going to win lotto, Jesus. Please, Jesus, if you're a miracle worker, tell me the lotto results for the end of year lotto. Then I believe you can do miraculous things. That's what poor people want. So Jesus has a slightly different definition of poor, which you can start to see through Matthew 5, 3 and 6. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then just a few verses later he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they would be filled. Now we know to be poor is to have no money, no security. But it also means in the Bible to be poor in spirit. And that means to feel at a loss for the world. That when you turn on the TV tonight or tomorrow and you see those special ads on SBS that are allowed to be played, normally to do with World Vision or Feed the Poor or UNICEF, that you feel guilty for the 30 seconds but turn it over. Jesus says, I've come to not bring healing to that. You can actually do that any time you want, it says. You can help them any time you want. But he's talking about something a bit different. To be poor in spirit is to be upset that a person is unable to receive Jesus. You actually are bereft in heart because people are out there in this world who are destitute spiritually. That's the sort of poverty that Jesus is talking about. He's also talking about poverty in general, that if we are unjust people, that's not good. But to be poor in spirit is to be poor at others receiving the kingdom of heaven. For the reward, as you can see, is simple. For those who are poor in spirit are spiritually poor. And so how do you receive it then? Because there's the reward. To receive the kingdom of heaven. So basically he says you want to be poor in spirit. Now how many of you want to be poor? None of you do. None of us want to be poor. So Jesus uses this idea to try and turn it on its head. None of you want to be poor ever. To be poor means you're a failure, means you're a flop, means your life's unsuccessful. That's the Australian way, isn't it? We want to go from poverty to riches. Jesus says you need to be poor in spirit to realise that you have nothing rich to offer God, but he has everything rich to offer you. And he offers us that in Jesus. Now we're going to end by showing you really how Jesus starts to tie all these three ideas together. Poverty, healing, and freedom. And he does it in a couple of verses, like in Luke 1:77. He says here, his aim is to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. The word forgiveness up there is the same word in the original that means freedom. He has come to give you freedom from your sins. But he wants to say you'll only realise that if you know that actually before him you're in poverty, a spiritual poverty. You have nothing to offer him. Your riches don't count to get you into heaven. Rich people who die still die the same death as poor people. They still end up the same. You can't take it with you. The Egyptians didn't get it right. You can go there and raid Tutankhamun's tomb, you could have done 100 years ago, and flogged all their stuff. They're not taking it with them. As you know, the old joke, he who dies with the rich toys still is. Yeah. Jesus saying, to be truly rich, you need to be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is to realise you have nothing to offer God, but he has everything to offer you. Poor in spirit people realise that the poverty that they have is filled up with the riches of Jesus Christ. In the next verse, you can see there in verse 79, what does he do with that? Well, he shines, as you can see there, on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. He's basically trying to say, each of us are held in a cage or a captivity without bars. The captivity we hold ourselves in is where I say, I'm not poor in spirit. I don't need Jesus. The captivity that Jesus says I'm in, I'm not in it. And Jesus says we are. Our selfish desires to live without God actually hold us captive. God calls that sin, selfishness. But Jesus says there's an answer. And the answer is to see yourselves as spiritually bankrupt, spiritually poor without him. That the captivity that we hold ourselves in is only broken free by Jesus Christ himself. Hence those great words in Galatians 5. It is for freedom. It is for forgiveness that Christ has set us free. In other words, he wants to take our poverty and give us his riches. He wants to take our ill health and give us eternal life. He wants to take our captivity to sin and give us release. We don't always feel it in this world, but we will feel it into the next. So, just to summarise what I think the message of Jesus is from Isaiah 61, and I think the message of Jesus really to us all over Christmas, it is Jesus brings good news to the spiritually poor. Some of you may be like me. Until about the age of 24, I used to go to services like this. My mother used to drag me along. I remember seeing one of my mates there who was equally dragged along. We gave each other a wink, win, a nod, nod, saying, we know what this is about. Let's put up this for an hour. We'll be out of here. Because I didn't see myself as spiritually poor. I was materially poor, but I thought I was spiritually okay. Jesus says no. When you see yourself as spiritually poor, you'll see Jesus Christ as spiritually rich. And he can pay the difference that you can't pay. Jesus brings good news to the spiritually poor, which eternally heals the brokenhearted through their release from spiritual captivity. That's the ministry of Jesus. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow morning, or all of next week, all of next year, is to proclaim that message to each one of us. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us, cares for us. You care for us so much that even though we considered ourselves okay with you, we don't need you, God. You sent your Son that we would see that we are spiritually poor. We need your love. We need your forgiveness. And in Jesus, we see abundant love, abundant forgiveness. You do want to heal the brokenhearted. You want to heal those who mourn for sin, who see in this world problems. But we should see in Jesus the beginning of solutions. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will release each one of us from the captivity that our sin has held us firm in. Continually remind us that we are saved eternally through Jesus Christ. In him alone. We pray this in his glorious name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of our songs to end. The first one is a song I haven't heard before. Peace Has Come, but I'm sure the band can lead us through that. And the second is an old-time favourite that many of us would have heard, Hark the Herald. So let us stand together and sing our two songs in recognition of what Jesus has done for us.